With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
It's not about being politically correct. It was being biblically correct.
Good time!
I know from some of the things that Senator Spector said to me over the weeks, I know how hard he's agonized. I believe he's going to be happier.
I think we're seeing a war brewing in the Republican Party right now.
It can only be attributable to human error.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
That homophobe Antonin Scalia has got too many votes on this court.
Insanity runs in my family.
It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves.
Amidst the Wolves. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. It is Cresta in the Afternoon on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Al, of course, as you know, if you've been listening all week, as we have here in Omaha, Al taking a well-deserved vacation, so he has graciously handed over the reins of his program to some wonderful guest hosts this week, and hopefully we'll keep that going as we continue to talk about the things that matter most. Live from the Spirit Catholic Radio Studios in Omaha, Nebraska this afternoon, we welcome you to Cresta in the Afternoon. You are in the company of Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And we are a husband-wife team. We're in our 26th year of marriage. We'll mark that in October. We've been doing the morning show here on Spirit Catholic Radio in Omaha, Nebraska for, it'll be 4 years in the beginning of July.
Believe it or not.
Well, I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, we're very delighted that Al asked us to come in and guest host the program today. We've got a really great program coming your way today.
This year is the year of the priesthood in the life of the Church. Pope Benedict XVI opened the year for priests this last Friday at St. Peter's Basilica. Pope Benedict stressed that priests need to be present, identifiable, and recognizable for their judgment of faith, personal virtues, and attire in the fields of culture and of charity, which have always been at the heart of the Church's mission. The Vatican's intention for the year for priests is to rebuild strong priestly spiritual identities, noting that priests are important not only for what they do, but for also for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Father Richard Cabusta is Executive Director for the Institute for Priestly Formation and will join us to discuss the year of the priest, the spirituality of the priest in today's world, formation, and so much more.
And, of course, we have to blow our horn a little bit. The Institute for Priestly Formation, located at Creighton University right here in Omaha, Nebraska. We've had Father Cabusta on the air with us in the mornings many times, Chris, and people are in for a real treat with Father Rich.
Right now in Omaha, over 100 and, what is it, Bruce?
175
seminarians, 59 priests, spiritual directors are here helping those men get to that heart of Christ, which is at the heart of the priesthood.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, we're very honored to have Father Richard Cabusta with us today on Cresta in the Afternoon.
Okay, and then about 3:40 this afternoon, we'll be talking about the effects of divorce on children.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of you, after months of speculation, have seen that John and Kate Gosselin of the John and Kate Plus 8 fame have filed for divorce. Very, very sad. That development was followed by a heavily promoted episode of the couple's reality series in which they said they would, in fact, separate. And we will use this opportunity to discuss the ravaging effects of divorce on children, especially when there are as many as there are in the Gosselin family. Eight. Dr. Ray Garandi of The Doctor Is In, also heard via the Ave Maria Radio Network, will be here to discuss that with us again about 3:40.
Nobody better, Dr. Ray.
Absolutely.
He is in, and he'll be with us in Cresta in the Afternoon.
Okay. We also want to direct you to the website to take today's poll question. Have you heard of the film The Stoning of Soraya M. before today's interview, which will be coming up next hour with Nick Tom?
I heard the book, yep. But I didn't know there was a film.
There is a film, and Nick, very profoundly moved by this film, so we're looking forward to hearing Nick talking about that. That'll be at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Right now, I can't wait any longer for Nick Tom to talk, so let's get a news update. Nick!
You are rare there, Bruce. Thank you very much, and very good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News. It is Wednesday, June 24th, the Feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist. Tapes released Tuesday by the Richard Nixon Library and Museum in Yorba Linda reveal an assertive president determined to end the Vietnam War, even if he had to, quote, cut off the head of the South Vietnamese leader. The comments were recorded in January of 1973 during a private meeting with Secretary of State Henry Kissinger Kissinger. At that time, the South Vietnamese president was balking at signing a peace agreement, believing that the communist North would overrun his country if the U.S. withdrew its support. In another exchange, Nixon talked to Christian evangelist Billy Graham after Israeli forces downed a Libyan passenger plane. Meanwhile, on another tape, Nixon addresses Roe v. Wade. Speaking to aide Chuck Colson, Nixon said, quote, "There are times when abortions are necessary. I know that. Suppose you have a black and a white or a rape," end quote. Nixon later says that legalizing abortion would encourage permissiveness that, quote, breaks the family, end quote. Another chaotic scene is expected to play out today in Albany, New York. Governor David Paterson is calling for another special session and adding a gay marriage bill to the agenda. Jennifer Polsone reports.
The quarreling senators due back for another special session in Albany after yesterday's messy gathering had Democrats at one point locking out Republicans and both sides holding separate sessions in the same chamber. Governor Paterson's growing tired of the nonsense.
They should stay here every day. And like you said, Saturday, Sunday, July 4th, and every other time until they remember that they work for the people of the state of New York and not for themselves.
Meantime, Paterson is putting the gay marriage bill on today's agenda, but the question still remains if this special session is even legal with the assembly not there. Jennifer Polsoni, New York.
As violence continues in Iran after a disputed election, a witness talks about being attacked during the turmoil. The woman told CNN she and her friends wanted to express their opposition to the turmoil when attackers poured out of a mosque and set upon them.
All of a sudden, some 500 people with clubs and wood, they came out of Hedayat Mosque, and they poured into the streets, and they started beating everyone.
The witness said her group was roused from their vehicle, then attacked. She stated the attackers tried to throw people from a pedestrian bridge during the skirmish, noting she heard gunfire and cursing. The woman told of watching attackers beat a woman so savagely that she was, quote, drenched in blood, end quote, and of seeing old men beaten until they bled. France's President Nicolas Sarkozy says burqas are not welcome in his country. The head-to-toe veil is worn by some devout Muslim women, but Sarkozy is insisting that faith has nothing to do with his disdain. He insists that the garment, quote, is a sign of subjugation, of the submission of women, end quote. Sarkozy threw his support to an anti-burqa faction in France's legislature that wants to ban the garb. He said, quote, "We cannot accept some women in our country are prisoners behind a grill, cut off from social life, deprived of their identity," end quote. Quote. The Texas Supreme Court ruled in favor of Philemon Restoration Homes, Inc., a ministry working with ex-prisoners. The Christian Post reports the unanimous decision concluded that zoning laws passed by the city of Sinton violated the Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The court noted that when the city passed a zoning ordinance barring correctional and rehabilitation facilities located within 1,000 feet of a residential area, a primary or secondary school, property designated as a public park or public recreation area, effectively banned the ministry from the city. And now your fascinating fact for the day. Ed McMahon passed away yesterday at the age of 86. His great-great-great-grandfather, that's three greats, was the president of France from 1875 to 1879. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Oh yeah, baby. I'm feeling the groove. Good afternoon and welcome back, everyone. It's Cresta in the afternoon. Al is taking a well-deserved week of vacation, and the master of the asylum has turned things over to the lunatics.
Don't be afraid.
Don't
it's
be
okay.
afraid. We're fine.
Be not afraid.
That's right. We're Bruce and Chris McGregor. Again, we're coming to you live today from the Spirit Catholic Radio Studios in Omaha, Nebraska, where it's about 96 degrees with 100% humidity today.
Is that all?
That's all. And we've got a great hour coming up for you. I did ask you to participate in today's poll question. To do that, by the way, go to the AveMariaRadio.net website. You can take today's poll question on have you heard of the film The Stoning of Soraya M. Before today's interview, which will be coming up at 4 with Nick Tom. And in yesterday's poll question, kind of following Nick's lead on the news, should the U.S. be more or less involved in supporting the protesters in Iran? The poll said more involved, 44%, less involved, 19%, and the current level of involvement being good, 37% of the people.
Interesting.
So again, go to AveMariaRadio.net. You can click the poll. You can follow up on any of the guests and books, which will be featured on today's program. Also, click on the Cresta Guest Archive, and everything will be there. And, of course, while you're there, take that daily poll question. All right, we are sitting in for Al Cresta, Bruce and Chris McGregor, and we have with us today Father Richard Gabuzda. We're going to be talking about the Year of the Priesthood, a theological and testimonial look. Father Rich, priest of the Diocese of Scranton in Pennsylvania, also the director of the Institute for Priestly Formation right here in our friendly city of Omaha, Nebraska, also lectures in theology at Creighton, has served as a faculty member of St. Pius X Seminary, and adjunct professor of theology at the University of Scranton, specializes in spiritual direction and liturgical and priestly spirituality, and that is found in abundance at the Institute for Priestly Formation. Father, good afternoon, and welcome to Cresta in the Afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, well, we're waiting to connect with Father. So we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes.
That's right. The Institute for Priestly Formation is one of those organizations. Actually, it's a public association that has been founded to help develop the spirituality of the parish priest, the diocesan priest. And St. John Vianney is been lifted up as the patron of parish priests and also the patron for this particular year of the priesthood.
That's right, 150th anniversary for John Marie Vianney. And it's still kind of an overlap that we actually are finishing up the year of St. Paul, which will conclude on the 29th on the Feast of St. Peter and Paul. Of course, just a little side note here, when newly installed archbishops get their pallium from Pope Benedict XVI. And our own brand new archbishop here, Archbishop Designate George J. Lucas, will be making that trip with Father Joseph Taphorn and Father Baxter from the Archdiocese of Omaha.
But along with Archbishop, along with Archbishop Dolan and also Archbishop Carlson, of newly installed into the Diocese of St. Louis, and they will be receiving that pallium, I believe, this Sunday or Monday, the actual ceremony. I believe it's on the Feast of St. Peter and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely a fantastic time to be able to celebrate and to meditate on the great gift of the priesthood that we have in the life of the Church.
Yeah, absolutely. And really it'll be a great lead-in when we are finally able to connect with Father Gabuzda to talk about the work of the Institute for Priestly Formation. And it just seems like this is the gem of spiritual direction and forming our seminarians. And we'll be talking with Father Gabuzda about the incredible growth that has prevailed for IPF since their inception a number of years ago, to the point where, as we were saying going into the break, 175 seminarians from all over the world are attending here at IPF. Also 59 priests and a host of great speakers. I mean, they've had Christopher West in there, Ralph Martin.
Dr. Janet Smith.
Yeah, Dr. Janet Smith. Many, many fine people have been giving spiritual direction to seminarians, and life is good. And at this point in time, we understand we do have Father Rich Gabuzda with us. Father, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Father Gabuzda, I'm not surprised we had a little trouble connecting with you in the beginning, because I know that you are truly one of the busiest men, if not in the city of Omaha, maybe one of the busiest guys in the United States right now, with 175 seminarians on campus at Creighton University.
Yes, it's quite a mob, but it's quite wonderful. That's a lot of prayer going on and a lot of growth in God. So we are delighted. It's our largest number ever. Hello?
Which is caused by, he who shall not be named.
Oh, you again.
Oh, yeah.
Father, are you still there?
I'm here. I was gone, but I'm back.
Okay.
All right. Now, Father Gabuzda, let's talk about the Institute for Priestly Formation and this Year of the Priesthood. Did you have some connections somehow? Did you help make that happen?
The Year of the Priest? No, I'd like to be able to say I did, but it came as a great surprise, but quite a delight. And I was especially pleased with when Pope Benedict inaugurated this formally, his letter to the world, to the priests of the world particularly, and really saying that in essence, whatever else the year may be, it really is a key for interior spiritual renewal for priests. And that's, of course, very dear to our hearts. That's really why we exist. And delighted that that's what the Year of the Priest is all about.
Particularly the selection of St. John Vianney as the patron for this particular year and his role and in the past as the patron of parish priests, but at the end of this year, he'll be lifted up as the patron of all priests.
Yes, it's an extraordinary gesture and certainly meant to be very, very particular to understand, you know, what is the heart of the priesthood. And it's a beautiful quote. I think a lot of us have been treasuring that quote from John Vianney that priesthood is all about the love of the heart of Jesus, and that really sets it so simply, but every priest certainly identifies with that.
The role for the Institute for Priestly Formation is to help, in particular, the spirituality of the man who is being formed to the diocesan priesthood. And that's different, isn't it, than, say, a priest who would come into a particular religious order?
Yes, every different vocation has a particular calling, and we do focus exclusively on the diocesan priesthood and helping priests and future priests to articulate the particularities of that call, and then therefore how to prepare spiritually to be able to live that call fruitfully.
Yeah, Father, what is the length of time that the seminarians attend IPF during the summer?
The summer program for seminaries is 10 weeks long. It begins with a little introductory couple of days. They make an 8-day silent retreat. Then they have additional class, apostolic service for about 6 out of the 10 weeks. And a very important part of it is their spiritual direction, which happens every day during the 8-day retreat and then happens once a week thereafter. It's really important because that's what helps them listen and attend to how God himself is moving in their hearts and teaching them how to pray.
That can be very difficult for a priest in a diocesan role, isn't it, to be able to stay connected to that heart of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a diocesan priest, of course, is busy. He works with people and many demands, including administrative demands made on priests. But what we often tell the seminarians is it's so important, especially early on, to have a sense of a good grounding in the Lord and what is that, that relationship really taste like, smell like, feel like, so to speak. So a priest knows in the future if he's getting a bit off track. He has to know what the track is in order to know if he's off track and being pulled away by way of daily busyness.
That whole connection to the heart, that's the key, isn't it? And we're going to talk more about that with Father Cabuzzo when we get back from our break.
Absolutely. You're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. Bruce and Chris McGregor from the KVSS studios in Omaha, Nebraska, guest hosting for Al. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about the things that matter most. Father Rich Cabuzda, director of the Institute for Priestly Formation, right here in Omaha. Don't go away.
Summer can be a bummer when your car's on the fritz. You like to take a vacation, but when you start your engine, it goes instead of... You'd love to take a road trip, but your brakes are broken, your muffler won't, and your differential is, well, indifferent.
Mm.
The good news is Fozzy Auto Repair can unfritz the fritzes. In other words, they'll battle the boink, unbroke the brakes, muzzle the muffler, differentiate the differential. Remember, Fozzy's is the home of the $16.99 oil change and free maintenance exams at 30, 60, and 90,000 miles. Fozzy's warranty their work for 12 months or 12,000 miles and are free local towing with all major repairs. Avoid the summer bummer and don't hit the road until your car is unfritzed and ready. Take it to Fozzy's Auto Repair. It's your car, their reputation. Stop and see Fozzy's on Stadium just south of Jackson Road or call toll-free 800-895-8700. That's 800-895-8700.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
It's Catholicism 101 on Christ is the Answer this week. As many in our listening audience are or are preparing to head back to school, we're revisiting a series of Catholicism 101 classes Father Ricardo taught over the summer of 2005. The subject this week is the Eucharist. Listen Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Toe Tappin' Afternoon Radio. Cresta in the afternoon, and no, I'm not Al Cresta. I don't sound anything like him. From the Spirit Catholic Radio Studios live in Omaha, Nebraska, sitting in for the vacationing Al Cresta in the afternoon. I'm Bruce McGregor with...
Chris McGregor.
And yes, for all of you listening out there, we are indeed a husband and wife. Been on the radio for 4 years, doing a morning show here in Omaha, Nebraska. Married for 26 years. And welcome back to Creston in the Afternoon. We're delighted to have you with us. We have with us this afternoon the director of the Institute for Priestly Formation, Father Richard Gabuzda. Father, thanks for staying with us through the break. We appreciate it.
Glad to be with you.
Now, Father Gabuzda, many people out there might assume that a young man goes off to seminary, that of course his spiritual training would be complete. And yet there seems to be the need for what the Institute for Priestly Formation is doing. Where's the connection there? What is it that they're receiving at IPF that they may not be receiving in the seminary?
It's a great question. I think a lot of people ask it. And the way I usually explain it is this. I think most people know that religious communities, let's say Benedictines or Dominicans or Jesuits, they all have a period of time called a novitiate. And that time in the novitiate is really has a twofold purpose: to focus on the life of prayer and to focus on the charism of the founder. Now, we in the diocesan priesthood have not had that tradition in our system, so it's almost as though we try to do everything at once, kind of catching the spiritual life along with our academic life, pastoral life, and so on. But there really is a need to have a focused time to really just pay attention to the life of prayer, and particularly the charism, the identity of the diocesan priest. If I know who I am, then I have a better idea of how I should be praying so as to find God at work in the midst of my daily life. So I like to describe our summer program as a kind of novitiate for diocesan seminarians.
When did the Institute for Priestly Formation begin its work?
We began officially in the summer of 1995. Trace our founding a little bit earlier to 1992, an experience that three of us had here at Creighton in Omaha, in making a 30-day retreat. That's really where the seeds of the future Institute were planted. We didn't know it at the time, but that was how it came about. But our first summer program was held here in 1995.
Yeah, and how many seminarians were at that, Father?
At that time, we had six seminarians. That was the minimum we could possibly have to run the program, and we were able to get six seminarians.
And again, for those who may be just joining us, how many do you have on campus right now?
This summer, we accepted 175, which was our highest number ever.
Extraordinary.
Wow, praise God.
They come from all over the United States, don't they?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, we have one Canadian seminarian as well. And I forget the count of dioceses. I think it's about 77 different dioceses throughout the country, including two dioceses that are from the Eastern Catholic Churches. We have one from the Chaldean Church and one from the Maronite Church, and that's the first time for us to have someone of a rite other than the Latin rite. So that's also a very beautiful experience this summer.
Right. Father, to what do you attribute the growth from three or six when you initially start to 175 right now? I understand there was maybe a lot of word of mouth. Seminarians experienced something deep and profound and took that back, and things just kind of spread, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that really is the way it has happened. They've told their brother seminarians that they've had a good experience. They've had a deeper encounter with the Lord here and really found a deeper grounding in the spiritual life, and they tend to sell it one to another. And then in some cases they would petition their vocation director to say, gee, can you send me? I'd really like to go. And then eventually more vocation directors and even more bishops have come to know our program and to rely on it.
Again, the fact that St. John Vianney would be the patron of this particular year in the life of the church, but also lifted up as all priests, he was, in essence, a diocesan priest, wasn't he?
Yes, definitely. And as I've been reading more, of course, in these recent days, you really have a flavor. I mean, we know, I think, the basics, the outlines of his life, certainly his zeal in the confessional and so on. But he also had to deal with many things that other diocesan priests do. He had a foundation helping those who were poor, and had to deal with keeping the books, you might say, and that sort of thing. So he was no stranger to even the administrative side of parish life. But, of course, very appropriately knew that the spiritual life was the most important thing, and that by seeking the renewal of his parishioners, he was really living the deepest life as a diocesan priest.
And that's really what many of the seminarians come away with, the fact that they need to be anchored in their own relationship with Jesus Christ and their own prayer life, but also that they need to be the spiritual fathers who really lead that school of prayer like John Vianney did.
Yes, absolutely. We really use that language a lot, the language of spiritual fatherhood. I think what people want most, and Pope Benedict said this a couple of years ago, people do not expect that a priest is an expert in economics or politics or even construction, but they really want him to be an expert in the spiritual life, meaning, can you show me the way? Can you show me the way into a deeper life in God? That's what people want most specifically.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. Al Cresta has the week off. Bruce and Chris McGregor from Omaha, Nebraska, KBSS Radio, guest hosting for Al today. We are taking a look at the Year of the Priesthood, a theological and testimonial look, joined this segment by Father Richard Gabuzda, who's the director of the Institute for Priestly Formation right here in Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, Father Gabuzda, the Institute for Priestly Formation occurred right at its foundational elements, essentially, prior to the great crisis that we had in the priesthood in the United States, as some have termed it, the scandal. Mm-hmm. And yet here you have, even after that monumental event in the life, that big heartache in the life of the church, now we have all these men who are still coming forward to serve the church, to serve God. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, Father Gabuzda, to see God calling these men?
It really is. It's a tremendous inspiration, and I think people would be so heartened if they could experience being here with us, because the seminarians here really, really want to serve God. They want to know God better. More and more, as the seminarians come each year, they want, I would say, more of what we can give them, what God can give them with our assistance. And it's very heartening, because they really do want to be spiritual leaders, I think, and be themselves close to God so they can bring others that way. It's really an inspiration.
In one of the Institute for Priestly Formation's publications, a really wonderful book that was written by Father David Toops, the Reclaiming the Priestly Character, he notes that there was a generation of priests that potentially did not necessarily have the type of formation that anchored them in that deep spirituality of prayer, and that made them maybe a bit more susceptible to the great turbulent effects that happen in the world every day.
Well, I think definitely. I think I encounter priests. We have another program in which we train priests as spiritual directors, and in that program we have priests all the way from newly ordained to 50 years ordained. And so often the priests have been ordained 25, 35, 40 years will say to the younger ones, you are so fortunate to be able to have a deeper and broader spiritual formation, because we have been living all these years without that, and my heart goes out to them, really. In so many cases, good men who just didn't receive the tools, and out there on the front lines like the Marines without enough, body armor on or something, and it's so important. And yet, there was that period of time, I think, where there wasn't a sufficient spiritual formation.
Right. Now, Father Gabuzda, one of the things that we hear a lot, of course, a lot of requests to pray for vocations, and a lot of men are coming forward to the priesthood. One of the things we hear a lot is the fact that with the amount of time that they study, which is many years, it's not just, I want to be a priest, wow, you know, you're a priest. You know, they go through seminary, they study theology, they get ready, they prepare. And one of the things we hear a lot from a lot of the men who are seminarians and have been ordained is that this entire...
Sounds like we might have lost that connection, Bruce.
Oh, I think we're... Are you still there?
We asked the question.
All right, okay. I'll re-ask the question, and I'll try and do it more succinctly.
There you go.
With all of the young men that are attending IPF, one of the things we hear a lot about, of course, is the fact that they are constantly discerning their vocation. Do you find that you work with a lot of the men in the IPF program and helping them with that discernment?
Yes, definitely. I think sometimes, you know, seminarians or even others in the formation process can, well, you might say recruit seminarians and then say, well, then you'll get praying after a while and they'll help you along the way. But, of course, the whole thing is meant to be a question of discernment. What is the Lord calling me to? And there are some men who come generally, you know, really very much wanting to help the Lord, help them answer that question. Lord, are you really calling me to this? So occasionally we will have a seminarian who will complete the summer program and we'll hear that the Lord is not calling him to be a priest. And we don't consider that to be a loss or a problem, but actually a great thing that they've listened attentively and that's what they've heard from the Lord. So they're aware of that rather than kind of going on just not knowing where things stand.
It really is, I keep being struck that it's really about the heart, and it's about the heart of Jesus, and you hear it from our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI. I mean, in his directives on this so far, and just his teachings on it, he really is calling us to deepen our spiritual lives, to anchor it there, isn't he, Father?
Definitely. We joke that we want to hire him for our staff because he's giving us all this great material. If only we could have him full time. But yes, it's really wonderful. He's so good at that, and this man is so brilliant intellectually, but he's got a humble heart and really knows that all of our mind needs to be located in our heart, as sometimes said, heart, that place of encounter with the Lord. And yeah, he's just beautiful at constantly bringing us back to that.
Well, the thing is, when we do study, when we study scripture or theology, maybe in a classroom setting, we can learn a lot. But when we really go deep into the heart of prayer, we end up going to places that can be kind of emotionally painful. And do you think maybe that's the thing that prevents people, and in particular seminarians, from pursuing that in a deeper way?
It's,
you know, encountering that heart.
I think that's a very good insight. I think naturally we are wounded in some way or other. We have our experiences of life that have been painful, and it can be difficult to go inside because we encounter that as well as other things. We don't encounter simply the presence of God in our hearts, and learning how to sift and sort that is so important. And one of the things we do try to provide here is the atmosphere where a seminarian can encounter the love of God. So those places of pain can be loved by God and healed in that sense. And that is so important in fostering the spiritual journey, because I think you're right, there can be a tendency to turn away in fear, not knowing what else to do.
Again, going back to the St. John Vianney, he was able to lead his parish and then ultimately a whole surrounding area of France and all over Europe. People would come to him because he was able to take people into that deeper relationship. And it sounds to me that's the goal of what you're trying to help those who truly have that call to priesthood accomplish.
Yes, St. John Vianney was certainly, when we talk about him as a good confessor, what we mean, of course, is that he had the gift, I think, of reading hearts and being able to know, so to speak, the diagnosis of a particular heart problem and the appropriate medicine, so to speak, to give to a person who came. And that's why people lined up, because he certainly did more than simply administer the sacrament. He really was able to speak into the hearts of people with his the grace that he had received in his own prayer. And that's why he was so attractive to people.
Well, I don't doubt that his prayer will be a very powerful one, particularly in the life of the church this particular year. It's exciting, isn't it, Father Kabuzda?
It's very exciting. I don't think anything has ever been done like this before in the church. And I think so many things will be popping up in different places as people continue to pray into and really seek to live this year of the priest.
Well, as members of the laity, what would you have us do, Father? What can we do to support our seminarians and our priests during this year?
Well, I always say it's very important to pray for priests. People think that maybe is a simple answer, but the priesthood is a challenging and beautiful life, but it also is susceptible to lots of stresses and strains. And to hold up your parish priest, particularly in prayer, is so important. because he really needs that kind of prayer, that kind of prayer of protection. Here in Omaha, we have a large group of spiritual moms and some spiritual dads who are praying for our seminarians. They're praying a Hail Mary a day for each of them, and we really have seen the difference. This happened last year and this year. It provides kind of a dome of grace over the whole thing. So my encouragement would be for your listeners to provide a dome of grace by their prayer for their own pastors and others that they are praying for.
And, I love that.
Yeah,
dome
absolutely.
Of grace.
Dome of grace. And Father Rich, the Blessed Mother, very, very central to all the work going on at IPF, isn't she?
Yes, she really is. We invoke her under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe and also Mary, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, which we found out after it came to us that it was also a title dear to St. Francis of Assisi. Mary teaches us how to receive. The Annunciation is all about Mary saying, okay, Lord, whatever you want, I give you permission. And that attitude of heart is so important for everyone and certainly for the seminarians gathered here so that the work of renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit in them.
Yeah. And talking this segment with Father Rich Kabuzda, Director of the Institute for Priestly Formation. And Father, as we wrap up our time together here, could we ask you to impart a blessing to all our listeners this afternoon?
I would love to. That would be wonderful. The Lord be with you.
And
also with
you.
Lord, I ask you to pour your blessing on all those who listen by radio, all those who are present to us. We pray especially for priests who may be listening or who are in need of our prayers, those who are especially in need in any way today. Lord, we ask you to grant your blessing to all who listen in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Father Kabuzda, thank you so much. God bless you for your work in IPF.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father. And if you'd like to learn more about the Institute of Priestly Formation, just go to www.creighton.edu/IPF.
All right.
Or just Google it. It's always the easiest thing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we do mean quick with a capital Q. The Effect of Divorce on Children. Dr. Ray Garandi joining us here on Crest in the Afternoon. Guest hosted this afternoon by Bruce and Chris McGregor from Omaha, Nebraska. Thanks for staying with us.
Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. St. Mary's in Pinckney invites the whole family to a Pinckney Hamburg Community Festival Saturday, June 27th and Sunday, June 28th. Enjoy live music, great food, door prizes, and much more. Sunday features a Polish feast which needs advance registration. For further details, call 734-878-3161. If you're looking for a weekend of spiritual fun for the whole family that's easy on the pocketbook, join our Byzantine brothers and sisters for Christ Our Hope, the 40th anniversary celebration of the Eparchy in Parma. The Divine Liturgies, live music, teens and kids events, talks, and more are all free at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Parma, Ohio. For more information, visit parma.org. You can find many more events on our website, avemariaradio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. We hope you are set to enjoy the summer. We kick off this June issue at the Chaldean Chamber of Commerce Summer Festival held in Southfield. We publish a list of events in our Chai Time section every month. Don't miss out. You can catch some fireworks events going on. This year, the U.S. government is focusing on the census. There's a tremendous effort going on to ensure everyone is counted. Well, in this June issue, we feature an article that discusses how Chaldeans want an identity in the census. There's no checkmark for Chaldeans, and some members are upset that we're being counted out. There has been an ongoing debate on who are the Christians from Iraq. Are they one people or are they separate groups that include Chaldeans, Assyrians, and Syriacs? Bishops from the Christian Iraqi community weigh in on the discussions. Get your copy of the Chaldean News and learn about this ancient community living in modern times. You could subscribe or advertise today. Join LA Insurance, Maximum Security Solutions, and Country Fresh. Log on to www.chaldeannews.com and learn more.
Yes, the quotient of saxophone music is very high here on Cresta in the Afternoon. Just breezing through this June 24th, midweek Wednesday. And no, I'm not Al Cresta. I'm Bruce McGregor along with my wife,
Chris McGregor.
And we are broadcasting Creston in the afternoon today. Al, of course, taking a very well-deserved vacation, is coming to you live from our studios at KVSS in Omaha, Nebraska, where Chris and I have been doing Spirit Mornings, our morning program for, well, we'll mark our fourth year right at the beginning of July.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also been husband and wife for 26 years, which we'll mark in October.
We've learned so much from Al Cresta mm-hmm. and Nick Tom that we just want to say thank you so much for giving us the chance to be able to just kind of sit in their seats. I don't know if we can do it, though, Bruce. What do you think?
Well, I think we give it a go. And a couple of things that we want to make you aware of. We'll be connecting with Dr. Ray Garandi here shortly, and we'll be talking on the effect of divorce on children. We do want to encourage you to visit the AveMariaRadio.net website to take the poll and get all the information and archive programs available there, too. So
if you miss,
So if you miss anything on Creston in the afternoon, you can go ahead to AveMariaRadio.net and scoop up on it. Take that poll question. All right, we are joined now for this segment by Dr. Ray Garandi, clinical psychologist and father of only 10 children. He's slowed down a little bit here. As, of course, the host of The Doctor Is In, produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio. Dr. Ray, of course, heard right here at Spirit Catholic Radio noon every weekday, Monday through Friday. Well, most of them. Shares the mic with Dr. Colleen Kelly Mast, of course. Also the author of several books, You're a Better Parent Than You Think, Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime, Good Discipline, Great Teens, and Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. Dr. Ray Garandi, thanks, and welcome to Creston in the Afternoon.
I don't know how long I can stay, guys. I've been watching that John and Kate plus eight, you know.
Yeah.
And I figure if they're splitting up, I mean, they got eight, I could split up with 10, you know. I could just kind of tell my wife, you know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know, Dr. Ray. I didn't even know who John and Kate were until they did split up.
That's a sad commentary.
It really is. I mean, I think it has something about reality TV. I'm too busy maybe living in reality than watching it on television. And I just here they came and now they've split.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're kind of a microcosm for what's going on out there. Now think about this. They went and they had six kids by what, in vitro? Because I've never seen the show, but I just have heard indirectly.
Yeah.
They had six kids by in vitro. And then they have these two little ones that are twins. So now they got eight. So now it's kind of like a circus thing, you know, the freak show. All right, everybody wants to be a voyeur. And in the American way, apparently their relationship is in some kind of trouble. Is that true?
Yeah, from what I've been able to pick up on it is that the stresses of all the millions of dollars and the television cameras, just John couldn't take it. So now John has decided that he needs to separate.
I see. So let me see if I understand his thinking, and we'll extrapolate this to marriages in general.
Mm-hmm.
The stressors on our relationship and on our kids are not good, so therefore I'm going to leave. Now that won't create any new stressors on the kids, will it?
No, according to NBC and the Today Show, it actually is supposed to help.
Oh, I see. Now, let me see if I understand the reasoning. Therefore, because these two are not getting along because of all of these artificial watchers, then it's best if Daddy says, hey, bye, eight kids. Hey, I'm not going to be a regular part of your life anymore, but this is better for you. This will be good because, see, then we won't have this marital strain, and then we'll all be one big, happy, split-up family. Is that kind of the thinking?
That's kind of the thing, and Mom says the show must go on, though, Dr. Ray.
The TV show.
The TV show must go on.
So what are they going to do, rename it Kate Plus Eight?
Yeah, Kate Plus Eight Minus One, or Kate, John, and Kate. I'm not sure.
Kate plus eight, John is gone.
Kate plus eight, minus John, huh?
That's right.
You know, guys, there is no body of research with more support in the area of psychology than divorce is bad for kids.
Right.
Right.
It is overwhelming. There are so many studies that indicate when a mom and a dad break. Now, I know
there are victims listening to you right now. I know this. I know there are moms there whose husbands have broken up the marriage flamingly against the mom's wishes. I know this. And for those people, I can only say they are my heroes for trying to make it work. God bless them. But in the broader view of things, the majority of marriages break up because they're like John and Kate, two people just sort of not liking each other anymore, getting disgusted, having their struggles, having their conflicts, and essentially saying, it's better this way. It's better if we're not together. And I have become convinced that mentality is about as selfish as it gets.
Yeah. Mm.
Because it essentially says to the kids, hey, kids, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. No, this is good. I'll be a good daddy. Oh, I'll be an even better daddy now that I'm not fighting with your mom. I'll be good, and our family will still be good. I can't tell you how many people in my office have sat there as they're going to divorce their spouse for no really decent reason other than, you know, I'm tired of you and I don't like you, and say, I love my children. I love my children. I want what's best for my children. And I look at them and say, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they walk out of the office then, but, you know.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Ray, let's talk a little bit, too, about the children and all of this. I mean, the thing is that I think there's a lot of studies, I've heard you talking about this as well, that no matter what happens, the children sometimes bear an enormous responsibility for thinking maybe they've done something wrong or, you know, all of these other factors that play into these very young and malleable minds.
Oh, the little kids especially think that.
Yeah.
The little kids have no idea why this is going on. And, you know, there's studies been done now that have indicated that even if the marriage is bad, now, again, let's leave out pathological situations. Let's leave out horrid chronic alcoholism. Let's leave out multiple affairs, abuse, those kinds of things. That's pathology, okay? But in the 80% of marriages where there are two people struggling to get along, the research says that the kids are in fact better off, and they themselves are happier and more content within the family, however conflicted it is, as opposed to the family splitting. That's the first thing. The older kids may recognize more who was at fault in the marriage, but they feel torn. They feel conflicted. They have divided loyalties. You know, yeah, my dad is a bum. My dad left us. But he's my dad, you know? I can't disown him. I don't want to not go see him, so I go see him. Oh, he's got a new girlfriend now. Well, I guess I better get to know his new girlfriend, but you know, because I have to, because then I won't see my dad. And that's what happens with the older kids. They're just torn limb from limb emotionally, trying to juggle these two adults that not only don't get along with each other, but are now complicating their lives with new people.
Yeah, it's actually, when you look at this particular thing with John and Kate, it just kind of brings up a more of a national discussion on it, our fascination with what's happening in this marriage. It says a lot about us as a country, doesn't it? Because, I mean, what is it that we crave to watch?
The train wreck.
Through the window. I mean, somehow we can't gossip about people that are next to us. Oh, no, we don't want to gossip. But then, on the other hand, that's all we're doing nationally on this particular couple and this whole family.
Part of our fallen human nature is the Springer effect. You look at somebody like them, and you say, look at that. They had everything. They had money. They had notoriety. And look what they're doing. They can't even handle it. Well, at least I'm not like that. It's the Springer effect. See these people on Springer, and no matter what your life is like, compared to them, you look like Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
And it's just a huge appeal to that. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you it's the old, I'm not as bad as that guy defense. And I think there's a lot of that in this. Plus the fact that we're voyeurs. We are. We're voyeurs. This allows us to look into somebody else's life and analyze it, critique it, enmesh ourselves in it, for what purpose? Just to get, I guess, a vicarious satisfaction that well, gee, we're not that stupid. Gee, we're not that miserable. Gee, we're not that ungrateful. Gee, isn't that guy a bum? Look what he did. He left his wife and 8 kids because he's unhappy. Well, look at her. She's a materialistic gold digger. Look at that, man. At least I'm not like that. There's a lot of that just goes on. I see it as a therapist all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and somehow we watch this, and for those reasons why they're divorcing, I think that plays in our heads as well, because then that can give us a justification for potentially maybe I should have a divorce. Maybe I am not feeling loved and wanted and secured, and so somehow I can justify my entry into that same behavior.
One of the great miscalculations that people make in divorce is they think, I'm going to go from a bad situation to at least a neutral situation or even a positive situation. Where they miscalculate is they don't realize they're gone from a bad situation to another bad situation or an even worse situation. There was a fascinating book written by Maggie Gallagher called The Case for Marriage. Mm-hmm. And they did some long-term surveys of people either having divorced or thinking of it. And what they found was that of the people who got a divorce, 50% of them said, I'm more unhappy now than I was in my marriage. Of the people who wanted to get a divorce but didn't and stayed in the marriage, 80% of them said, 5 years later, things were better.
Mm. Yeah. You know, Dr. Ray, I just wonder, why on earth would you even consent as a couple with that many children or whatever to invite cameras into your home? And I can remember a quote from Kate Gosselin that she was saying, well, you know, we can handle it. It won't really change things. We're strong. We're together. Why would somebody go down that path other than, you know, the money or the fame or notoriety? Why would you invite cameras into your home like that? I just can't fathom that.
Most folks are not aware how they're going to react when the situation comes. Study after study after study has shown this. We don't predict well what we would do in a situation. Remember Terry Schiavo? Remember the situation where they hung the whole case on the fact she was watching TV and she said, I never want to live like that! Okay? But in fact, when she was in that situation, she did want to live like that. And Kate, I'm sure, looked at it and said, oh, no, you know, I know who we are. We're strong. We can handle this. This is not a big deal. We got a solid marriage and a good family. No big deal. Well, she underestimated it. She miscalculated, all right? Where she miscalculated probably was this all appealed to her. She didn't realize how much it was going to appeal to her. It was going to appeal to her so much that she might be able to say to her husband, hey, get lost. If you can't accept this, get lost.
Yeah,
the guy may have thought they could have handled it, but it turns out he couldn't. And so now he says, I can't handle this. He thought he could. So that's the first thing. Most people don't really know what they're going to act like until they get put in a situation, especially a situation like this, which is way out of the norm.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Ray Garandi, with us. Creston in the Afternoon. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Today's programming for Ave Maria Radio is brought to you today by our day sponsors, in honor of Father Chet Polarski, a retired priest who is still active after 50 years.
You can be a day sponsor too. Would you like to send a salute to your parish priest? Say happy anniversary to your parents or spouse? You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya, and this week on Light of the East on Ave Maria, we will learn about a place to learn and also be immersed in Eastern Christian spirituality.
We were at a monastery of monks, most of whom came from Ukraine.
And we will learn about the great feast of Saints Peter and Paul.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
You now have two great Detroit area locations for religious merchandise. There's A. Mutea Church Supply in Garden City and now G.A. Fuchs Church Supply in Madison Heights. Between the two stores, they offer the largest selection of religious merchandise in southern Michigan, with everything from statuary, rosaries, and crucifixes to a large inventory of books. If you need it for your religious group or services, they have it. A. Mutea and G.A. Fuchs Church Supply. Just choose the location closest to you. You'll find A. Mutea Church Supply on Ford Road, just east of Merriman Road in Garden City. If you'd like to call for more information, the number is 734-513-2950. Write it down, 734-513-2950. If you're closer to Madison Heights, you can stop at G.A. Fuchs Church Supply on Stevenson Highway, just south of 14 Mile Road, off I-75. You can call them at 248-589-0200. You'll want to write that one down, too. 248-589-0200. They look forward to serving you.
And good afternoon, and welcome back, everyone. It is Cresta in the Afternoon on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Cresta, of course, Mr. Al, taking a week of well-deserved vacation. So we are guest hosting today from Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm Bruce McGregor and...
Chris McGregor.
And I'd like to thank our guests this past hour, Father Richard Gabuzda from the Director of the Institute, that is, for Priestly Formation right here in Omaha. And Dr. Ray Grandy. If you want information on IPF, you can go to www.creighton.edu/IPF. And also be sure and check out Dr. Ray. You can find him, of course, right on the AveMaria.net radio website.
Yeah, the Institute for Priestly Formation doing such fabulous work, and I think we all can take to heart what Father Gabuzda said, is to pray. Pray that dome of grace. And I think, you know, maybe the Dome of Grace needs to be placed over every family, too. We have to pray that as we look at divorce and the effects of divorce, can you wait it out? I think it's our understanding of marriage that and why we enter into it and what's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it has to be the domestic church. We have to have that dome of grace. I love that.
That's a very, very good visual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next hour, as we move about 20 past the hour, next hour we will be talking to someone who will give you some great tips on family advice, Rebecca Hagelin, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. So again, go to thecrestintheafternoon.blogspot.com. You can download MP3s of today's program and follow Alan Nick's regular commentaries on the news of the day. Nick Tom will be along with the news here in just a few minutes. We're going to reset, and Chris and I will rejoin you after the top of the hour. Cresta in the Afternoon on the Ave Maria Radio Network. We are delighted to have you here. Thanks, and God bless you for being here.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506. The Catholic Mass is the most sacred act of worship in which a person can participate. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ sat down with His chosen apostles and does something new, something never done before, and yet something which continues until the end of time. The Catholic Mass Revealed is a beautifully written, recorded, and film production. This collection will rekindle your heart, inspire your soul, and enlighten your mind. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the online store to get the Catholic Mass Revealed. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. We recently recorded and did a delayed broadcast of an evangelism conference with Archbishop Charles Chaput and Sherry Wydell, hosted by Sacred Heart Major Seminary. This must-have 2-CD delayed broadcast set is $17. The Divine Mercy Center and Right to Life of Michigan jointly hosted Arrested by Mercy, Caught in the Healing Glance of Jesus. The 3-CD delayed broadcast set is $25.50. All editions of Christ in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
People are coming from all over to see and hear Father John Carapi live at the 19,000-seat HS.